Welcome back to the Design Your Dream Year podcast, a place where we discuss all things mindset, manifestation, and self-development to help you live your best, most fulfilling life possible. I am your host, Allison, popping on with another episode. And can I just say, before we even dive in, I am so excited that you're here. First of all, because this is a topic that has been weighing on my mind for months, but also I am so aware of how many podcasts you have to choose from. Like, I don't know how many podcast shows actually exist nowadays. I would actually be curious to know. It's probably, I don't know, a million, hundreds of thousands, but regardless, you have a million options. So the fact that you are here means a lot. And not only that, but like, forget podcasts. We have so many things in our day-to-day lives that are vying for our attention, whether it's our phone, social media, different apps, different aspects of our life. There are just so many things vying for our attention. So the fact that you are here with me on my little corner of the podcasting world means so much. So thank you for being here. I hope you're having a lovely day. And kind of along those lines, with so many things vying for our attention spans, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. I have been thinking about this for months because a few months ago, I began to notice how anytime I had a free second in my day where I was quote unquote doing nothing, I would instantly and automatically feel the urge to grab my phone, to look something up online, or to watch a YouTube video, or to get on social media, or do something to fill that space with. And along those lines, I also began to notice how I was just feeling more on edge, a little jumpy, not really anxious, but more just overstimulated. Like, for me, that feels like my brain is going a million miles an hour. It's going in like 20 different directions. I'm not relaxed because my mind is just like on overdrive. And it was something that I kept thinking about, but I wasn't really taking any action to actually do anything about. And then when I went to Peru last month, this was a theme that came up really strong and hard for me. So if you missed last week's episode, I shared about how I pretty much spent almost the entire month of March off grid, out in the middle of the Amazonian jungle in Peru for an ayahuasca retreat. And like I said last week, I'm going to do a whole separate episode about the ayahuasca retreat, what it is, what it's like. But if you are curious, or you're just like, I have no idea what you're even talking about, ayahuasca is simply a psychedelic brew. It is a plant medicine that has been used for thousands of years by the indigenous people of the Amazonian jungle for mental healing, physical healing, emotional healing. It's a very healing plant. So, and if you want to hear more about it and you don't want to wait until I record this new episode, feel free to check out the episode I did back in 2020. I went on an ayahuasca retreat in Costa Rica, February 2020. It was life-changing. So if your interest is piqued and you're curious, feel free to check out that episode. Just scroll down until you get to February 2020 and you'll see it. The title's something super obvious. I think I titled it something like My Mind-Blowing Ayahuasca Experience. So feel free to check that out in the meantime. But I was back for another retreat because, like I mentioned, my first one in Costa Rica was life-changing in the best way possible. So I booked this trip at the end of November. And ever since I booked the trip, leading up to it, I was so excited to go. I could not wait. I was so excited. Like every single day, I would feel excitement about going on this retreat. And when I got to the retreat, I was still excited. Like the day I arrived after 48 hours of travel, by far the most airplane riding I've ever done in my life. Like I had a 9-hour flight, which for me was my longest flight up to date. And even though I arrived at the retreat tired, I hadn't slept for like almost 2 days, I was so excited. And this retreat, when I say it was off-grid, it was off-grid. It was out in the middle of the jungle, like miles and miles and miles and miles of jungle, no internet, no, you know, air conditioning, no hot water, just you and nature and very primitive housing. So when I got to this retreat, like I said, I was super excited. But here's how this ties into the topic of what I want to share about today. So I get to this retreat center and I'm so excited. I've literally been anticipating this for months. And I get there and I'm meeting everybody and I'm taking pictures and I'm feeling so excited. And then after that first hour of taking pictures and meeting people, kind of seeing like the lay of the land, I remember being given the schedule for the rest of the day. And I think at this point it was about 1:30 in the afternoon, 2 p.m. And they told me, all right, well, there's nothing else until dinner at 6 p.m. And I remember going back to my little tambo, which is basically a little hut. I had my own private hut with a hammock on the porch. And I go back and I just sat there by myself and I felt suddenly so out of my element. Because in that moment, I realized I now had about 4 hours to, I don't want to say kill, but that's what was going through in my mind. I had 4 hours to figure out what to do with myself in, and I didn't know what to do because there was no internet. They encouraged no electronic use, you know, don't get on your phone. Don't try to escape by doing whatever activity you would normally do. And so I sat there feeling completely lost and I actually had a bit of a breakdown. Like I just started bawling because I was so uncomfortable. And I was like, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? Did I make the wrong decision? Like how the heck am I going to deal with myself for hours and hours at a time with not having, you know, without doing anything? Because it was then that I realized that every single day during this retreat, there would be hours and hours of free time. And like I mentioned, they did not have the internet, but also they encourage you to not get on your phone. Don't do whatever escapist activity you would normally do. They really encourage you to be with yourself. And I really questioned for that first 24 hours if I had made the wrong choice to the point where I considered leaving. That is how uncomfortable I was with just doing nothing. Like I had just flown halfway across the world, traveled for 48 hours, invested thousands of dollars into this retreat. I had been looking forward to it for months. And here I was considering going home because I couldn't sit with myself. And so it was then during this retreat that I became even more aware of just how short my attention span had become. I don't know if you can remember, if you're my age, if you are 39, 40, well, I'm not both, I'm 40. I don't know why I said I'm 39, 40 as if I'm both ages. I think I'm still in denial that I turned 40 in the last 12 months. But if you are around my age, then you probably also remember what it was like to grow up without all the technology. Like I grew up with no smartphone. No internet. We didn't have the internet in my house until I was 14. And when we did, it was really slow. It was the dial-up. If you ever saw that Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, You've Got Mail movie where they have to like, they sit at the computer and it's like screeching. And it's like, you've got mail. That is what it was back then. And so we didn't have any internet, like I said, till I was 14. And even then, it's like I would barely get on it. Social media did not exist. And when I look back at that period of my life throughout my childhood, throughout my teens, I am so freaking grateful that I got to grow up in a time that we did not have smartphones and social media and all of these things. Now, I'm not saying these are bad things, like that smartphones are bad, social media is bad. Of course, they can serve very, very valuable purposes. They can be extremely helpful. Even social media, if you're going on there in limited amounts, surrounding yourself with accounts and people that are actually, you know, helping you grow or inspiring you or providing some type of value, like it all has its place. But I just remember how much more simple things were when my brain wasn't so full of everything that it is today from the constant barrage of content. Because what smartphones are like supercomputers that fit into your pocket. There are notifications going off. There are apps notifications going off, social media notifications going off. I mean, they have specifically designed social media apps to keep us on them, to get us on there, to keep us on there, to make us addicted to them. And I just remember when I think back to my childhood and my teens and even my early 20s, because I still didn't get on social media in my early 20s. I did not get my first smartphone until my late 20s, actually. Like, I just remember how much more clear I felt and how much more relaxed I felt because I wasn't overstimulated. So anyway, small tangent, but it was on this retreat last month that it really became glaringly obvious that my attention span was absolutely wrecked. And I came away from that retreat with the clear message that I needed to heal my attention span. And I also needed to decrease the amount of stimulation that I was getting because I was feeling overstimulated. So that is what I want to talk about in today's episode, is how I've actually been doing that and what it's actually been resulting in my life. Because hint, hint, I feel so much more clear and so much more relaxed. So the reason why this is so important, especially in today's day and age where, like I said, we're constantly barraged with all the information and all the notifications and the constant dinging and check me and read me, is because when we're overstimulated, we just feel on edge. Like, you can probably think of a time where you've been overstimulated. Maybe you're overstimulated right now, but generally, if you have a hard time relaxing, if you have a hard time getting your mind to not run in 20 different directions, if it feels like it is just going 100 miles per hour, that's a pretty good indicator that you're overstimulated. It's also important to heal this within ourselves because when we're overstimulated, at least for me, I have such a hard time being present. When I'm overstimulated, my mind is going in 20 different directions, and that includes when I'm trying to have a conversation with my partner, for example. Like, my partner will be telling me about his day, and I'm not present because I'm overstimulated and thinking about the three other things that I had just got done reading on my phone. Or I'm outside on a walk and I'm unable to really just enjoy the spring blooms and the breeze and the sun on my skin because, oh, guess what? I'm thinking about the 20 other things that I was looking at online earlier that day. And, you know, life in the present moment's all we have. And it kind of sucks when it feels like you can't even be present because your mind is always going 20 miles an hour. It's also important because when you're overstimulated, and your mind's going, it's really hard to hear your intuition because your intuition is quiet. It's subtle. It comes in those moments where you're not ingesting information, when you're not watching something, when you're not, you know, looking on social media, when you're not taking in information, when you are at your most clear and quiet, when your mind finally has a moment, that's when your intuition comes in. And your intuition is like your internal divine GPS system. It is always trying to lead you to the next step, that it's going to take you down the best possible route for you towards your most desired outcomes. It's so important to hear our intuition, to listen to it, to follow it. And it's really freaking hard to do when we are so overstimulated to the point where we have no attention span, that we have to fill up every free moment. And then one other reason why this is so important, and this is a big realization that I had when I was in Peru, is that when your attention span is jacked up to where you constantly have to be, you know, looking at something, listening to something, whatever, scrolling your phone, when you're doing that, you really can't spot patterns in your thinking. And this is important because we all have patterns in our thinking, and a lot of them are not helpful. In fact, I would say that probably for most people, I would say like 80% of the repetitive thoughts that we have are not helpful. And there was actually a study on this, and there's stats on this. I don't want to like, I'll probably butcher the statistic, but I think it's something to the effect of 90% of the thoughts we have every day are the same ones we had as the day before, and the same ones we had as the day before. It's like a broken record 90% of the time. And that most of these thoughts for a lot of people are negative thoughts, are thoughts that are not helpful, are thoughts that are disempowering, are thoughts that are keeping us stuck exactly where we are. And when we are constantly looking at things and stimulating ourselves with other things, when we're distracted, we are not aware of these patterns. So when I was in Peru, like I said, every day that I was there, there was hours of downtime where I was just laying in the jungle in my hammock and trying my best to just be present and to also be a witness to the thought patterns that were coming up. And it was so enlightening because I very quickly began to notice very specific thought patterns that were just like a broken record and that were not helpful, that were keeping me stuck in certain areas of my life. And actually, another great example of this and why this is so important is the other day in my manifestation membership, the Blissful Life Blueprint, which if you have not checked that out yet, oh my goodness, come check it out, get inside, join me. It's so much fun. But anyway, I have a manifestation membership. It's the Blissful Life Blueprint. We have a community. And one of the members in there posted that she was excited to manifest new friendships in her life. And I was like, wow, yes, that's so amazing. I was like, so what are you doing differently? And she said, and I love her candidness with this, like her just being real with this. She was like, oh, nothing. I'm not doing anything differently. I am stuck in my pattern of work, children, and scrolling my phone. And first of all, like I said, I really respected the fact that she was so honest, but actually what she said was so key to actually then going forward and manifesting those new friendships, because step number one to getting a new result in her life is to first become aware of these patterns that keep us stuck. The fact that she had awareness of her pattern of working, then spending time with the kids, and then scrolling, and that's what she would do day after day. She had awareness of that pattern. When you have awareness of your patterns, it is then that you can change them. that you can choose to catch yourself when you're thinking those thoughts or doing that activity on autopilot. And then you can choose a new thought, or you can consciously choose a new activity. But we don't have this luxury, this super important gift, when we're distracted. And I think for me, after I got done with this retreat and I did some reflecting, at least for me, and I think this is the case with, you know, probably some other people, but one of the reasons we do distract ourselves with things like social media is because we don't want to have awareness of these thoughts. We don't want to see what's in there. We don't want to see these patterns, especially when they're negative ones, right? It's uncomfortable. So that was sort of like my takeaway, was I was distracting myself with other things and getting overstimulated because I did not want to be with myself. Now, I will say, just as a little side note, that I'm not saying it's bad to escape by getting on your phone or watching Netflix. Like, I think those things can be very valuable and also necessary in certain amounts. But when those become the only outlet and you're never, ever like being with yourself, then I think that's when we need to sort of take a step back. And that's where I was, because I was in the pattern of never being with myself. So healing the attention span was my number one priority when I got back. Well, to be fair, I had like 4 or 5 priorities when I got back. But this was one of them. One of my biggest takeaways was I need to heal my attention span, and I need to not be overstimulated. So I want to share with you what I've been doing, because it's been working, and they're just simple changes. And I can tell you that after doing these things for just a couple weeks, if I'm being honest, like, I did not start this as soon as I got back from Peru. I had other things that I was doing. I really started these things about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks. But I can tell you that after just 2 weeks of doing the 3 things I'm about to share, I can already feel such a difference in how clear I feel. Like, my mind feels so much more clear. It's not constantly going in 50 different directions 100% of the time. You know, maybe it's only 50% of the time now. Hey, that's a massive improvement. But also, like, my nervous system is just relaxed. Like, I'm not in constant fight or flight. My nervous system has reset, and I just feel so much more at ease. So here's what I've been doing.
We'll get back to the episode in just a second, but if you'd like to get access to my proven 3-step manifestation framework that will show you how to start creating your ideal, most fulfilling dream life with clarity, purpose, and a clear path to follow, then come and join me inside my manifestation club, The Blissful Life Blueprint. Inside, you'll get access to an incredible community full of supportive, like-minded people, bite-sized video trainings that are actionable and easy to follow, and the tools and resources you need to uplevel every area of your life into looking and feeling exactly how you want it to. To join me inside the club, just click the link that I will have for you below in the show notes, or just go to designyourdreamyear.com/bliss. Again, that's designyourdreamyear.com/bliss.
The first thing that I have focused on doing is replacing input activities with output activities. So for me, one of the reasons why I was so overstimulated is because nearly all of my time was spent doing input activities, meaning I am reading something, I am listening to a podcast, I am looking stuff up online, I am watching YouTube videos, I am doing something where I am ingesting some form of content, be it audio, visual, whatever. And then no wonder I was feeling overstimulated. So I have began replacing my input activities for a chunk of each day. So I think I started with an hour with output activities. So yes, I can just sit there and be with myself and relax and do nothing. Like that in and of itself is doing something. And so I will either do that where I let myself just sit with my thoughts, or I will do an output activity, which for me really helps to lessen the overstimulation, because it's like I'm releasing stuff. So by output, I mean things like journaling or writing or doing voice memos, talking to yourself, singing, dancing, cooking, going for a walk, any type of activity where you are moving energy, where you are letting something out, right? So like by journaling, you're writing your thoughts, you are getting your thoughts out of your head and onto paper. Or if you're singing, that's just, I love to sing. I could sing for hours a day. It's one of my activities that just brings me the most joy. Or dancing's another way to get energy out. And I mean, like, I'm not a good dancer. I just dance like a crazy pants around in my living room. No one's watching. I don't care how I look. Like, these types of activities are letting us output stuff from ourselves. Yeah, that was not worded very elegantly, but hopefully you get the idea. So I started with replacing an hour of input activity with an hour of output activity. And now I have actually increased it to, I think, more like 2 hours. So that has been an absolute game changer. And not only that, but it also leaves me more time to like do things that bring me joy and hobbies that I enjoy, because I'm, instead of getting on my phone, or if, for me, I'm not so much the person that scrolls social media, but I love YouTube. And ugh, I don't know how many hours I have spent on YouTube a week for the last year, but it's a lot. So just by replacing 1 or 2 hours that I would normally spend on YouTube with doing an output activity, that has brought me so much joy, simply because I am now focused on doing, you know, a hobby, like I said, that makes me happy, whether that's cooking or playing disc golf or writing or something I've been called to do, like that I just, oh, I'm researching right now, is I want to get a native flute and I want to learn how to play it. Like playing an instrument is a great form of output, but this has made such a huge positive difference in my life just over the last 2-ish weeks that I've been doing it. So the second way that I am fixing my attention span that's been really helpful is tying certain activities with mindfulness or no tech. So I'm talking about daily activities that you do and tying that with no tech during that time. So for example, every single day for at least 15 minutes, weather permitting, I take my cat, Mr. Prairie, outside on a leash, because he's an indoor cat, but he is obsessed with going outside. Like he loves it to the point where he pretty much whines about it all day, every day, because he always wants to be outside. So I make it a point to take him out for at least 15 minutes. But because this is something I do every single day, I have made it a practice that during this 15-minute period, I will not be on my phone. I will not be listening to any sort of podcast or ingesting any type of content. Instead, I'm using this 15 minutes to be as mindful as I can, to be as present as I can. What's the weather feel like? How does my skin feel in this breeze? Is it cold? Do I feel warm? How do I feel in my body? How does the grass feel on my feet? What's the weather like? What flowers are blooming? What are the clouds doing in the sky today? Like, I'm literally just spending that 15 minutes enjoying the moment. And it is just so amazing when you are truly present, how clear your mind gets, how peaceful things get. And for me, I just feel so fulfilled because it's these little moments that make up our everyday life that is life. And when we stop to enjoy it, it's just so refreshing. So that's one of the activities that I do every day that I have tied with mindfulness and no tech. Another thing that I do along those lines is an hour before bed minimum, I have an alarm set on my phone that goes off and it says no tech. So if I'm on my phone or if I'm watching something, that is my little signal to get off and to now do something like lay on my acupuncture mat or meditate, journal, sit with myself, literally do anything that is not to do with technology. Another thing that I'm doing is I am getting a hammock. So my time in Peru, I spent so much time in a hammock just laying with my thoughts. So my intention now is to get a hammock for my backyard, and I'm going to tie that hammock with no tech. Anytime I get in that hammock to relax, I am not allowed on my phone. I'm not allowed to listen to podcast episodes or do anything like that. It is a practice in just being present and either just doing nothing or singing or writing or something like that. And then one more example is an activity that I do every single day without fail is I make my morning coffee. And I go through this whole routine. I do a pour over every morning. It takes like 15 minutes total with like the brew time. And during that 15-ish minute period where I am preparing my coffee, I am using that as a mindfulness practice. So I'm taking the time to smell the coffee beans before I grind them because holy crap, that is one of the best smells in the world, at least for me. Like, ugh. I could just walk around with a coffee, like a bag of coffee beans taped to my face, and I would just love it because I love the smell of fresh coffee beans. During that time, I am just looking out the window over the sink and noticing what it's like that day, like what the weather is doing. I am smelling the coffee as it's brewing. I am practicing being thankful for the fact that I have this awesome coffee and that I have this house and that I'm awake today and that I'm alive today. And it has just been so nice. So finding daily activities or activities that I do very regularly and tying those with mindfulness and no tech, no sort of ingesting any sort of content has been so wonderful. And then the last way that I have been fixing my attention span is no phone and TV at the same time. So I had gotten in this habit, especially in the evening, because honestly, I pretty much never watch TV during the day. If I'm watching TV, it's at the end of the day, in the couple hours before bed. But I had gotten in this habit where I would have a show on, for example, Grace and Frankie, that is like one of my top favorite shows of all time. Oh my goodness. If you want like a like lighthearted, great show that is funny, check that out. It is like one of my favorite shows. It's on Netflix. But anyway, I caught myself turning a show on to watch, but then I wouldn't even really be watching the show because I would also be on my phone looking things up. And I'm embarrassed to say that when I started getting really bad, I would be watching a YouTube video as I was also watching a show. Like, what the heck? So talk about overstimulation. So I have this sort of new rule, I guess you could call it, where if I am going to turn the TV on, that is it. I am not also on my phone, and I put my phone out of reach. the only way that I will allow myself to have the TV on at the same time and my phone is if I've got like the fireplace, the TV fireplace going, you know, like the video of the fireplace for those of us who don't have an actual fireplace where you can turn the fireplace on your television and it looks like a fireplace. That I will do because I find it extremely relaxing and that's not, you know, content, that is just ambiance. So I love putting a good ambient scene on my TV. And then if I want to get on my phone, I will. And P.S., if you have never checked out all of the ambiance videos on YouTube, is that the genre? but all I know is if you go on YouTube and you search for like nature ambiance or Halloween ambiance or literally any type of ambiance, there will be a ton of videos with like a really oftentimes cool, beautiful, relaxing, whatever, depending on what type of ambiance you're searching for. But there will be like a video scene of that. And sometimes there will be like light music, which you can always turn off, or there'll just be like relaxing sounds. Like I have this one that I love where it's like a spring nature scene and it's the perspective that you are on this porch overlooking a lake at sunset and there's a fire pit and there's string lights on this porch and it is just so relaxing and it has just nature sounds. You can hear the birds, you can hear the gentle waves of the lake every now and then. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, so these ambient scenes are the only way where I will let myself have the TV on while also on my phone. And this is just something that I am personally doing, and I can tell you that it really has made a difference. So those are the three things that I've been doing over the last 2 weeks, and like I said, it has made such a positive difference in my nervous system being way more relaxed, in my ability to be present, in my mind not going in 500 directions. It's also allowed me to sleep better because let's face it, when you're overstimulated and your brain is going, it's really freaking hard to fall asleep. So I hope that if you can relate to feeling overstimulated, or maybe you're like me and you find it unbearable to like even sit with yourself for like 5 minutes, I hope you will consider giving even just one of these a try for a week. And if you do, please let me know how it goes. You can find me over on Instagram. I'm at Design Your Dream Year. Seriously, send me a DM. I would love, love, love to hear from you. And then the other thing I want to say is, should you try doing this yourself, which obviously I recommend you do, I want to say that it gets easier. It gets so much easier. For me, the first 48 hours were the hardest. So like when I was in Peru and I had my breakdown in my Tambo and I'm like crying and considering just going home because I couldn't stand the thought of doing nothing, I would say that it took me about 30 hours for my nervous system to start regulating and for me to be more tolerant with sitting by myself. Of course, this probably will vary person to person. I'm just speaking from my own experience that after I had sat with myself for a few hours during those first 24 hours, it began to get so much easier. And from that point on, I mean, I was spending like 5 hours a day at least really doing nothing, just being with myself and my thoughts. And it became easy and relaxing and, dare I say, even enjoyable. So if you try this and you're like, oh my God, I can't, just know that if you keep going, it will get easier. You just gotta force yourself to break the pattern. Put down the phone. Do you really need to check it? Is it going to improve your life? In most cases, probably not. And just be with yourself or do an output activity that you find enjoyable. So that is all for today's episode. I hope you found some value in it. If you did, please feel free to share it with anyone who you think would find it helpful. Also, please, if you have not already, rate, review the podcast. It helps me out so much. Getting ratings and reviews are what tell the old algorithm to actually share my show with people. So it truly does help me so much. And it takes like 10 seconds. You just scroll down in the app to where it says rate and review. And then you can literally just tap the stars and that's it. Or if you would like to leave a sentence or two about why you like this show, I do read every single review and I would appreciate that so, so much. All right. Well, with that, go on. Go try one of these three things. I highly recommend it. And I will see you in the next episode.